of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good afternoon. This is the Midday News for Friday, May 28. I am Kimberly Benjamin in the headlines. New forms of moral values and priorities in a modern society have placed our focus on materialism rather than on moral ethics, says Dominican Pan-Africanist and social activist McLean Williams. Antigua-Barbuda National Office of Disaster Services has been moving swiftly ahead with preparations for this 2021 hurricane season, which officially begins June 1st. And global cruise trips slowly return, with some mandating fully vaccinated passengers as the U.S. starts simulated trips and the U.K. starts regional voyages in efforts to overcome cruise travel struggles with COVID-19. The news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited. The details after this.
There's never a bad time to feel good. At Quartz, we've got all you need to make your home more comfortable and enjoyable, all at the best prices. Save on electronics and smart devices. Great deals on furniture and appliances. Get it now with Ready Finance, and we'll pay your first and last installments. So it's all about feel good days. Brought to you by Quartz, bringing value home. Conditions apply.
New forms of moral values and priorities in our modern society have placed our focus on materialism rather than on moral ethics, says Dominican Pan-Africanist and social activist McLean Williams. He was speaking as a guest panelist on Q95's Youth on Cue program Thursday afternoon. He highlighted some of the realities of our society and the socioeconomic trap in which most of us find ourselves.
No longer do we do it our way, where we value each other based on our ability to love, to be kind, to be patient. It now boils down to how big is your house, how expensive is your car, the type of clothes and the type of shoes that you wear. So that is the stage we are at right now as far as valuing individuals. The whole idea of it centers along a material aspect, and that is what we need to try to get away from. Now, capitalism, to a certain extent, played a key role in that shift, because what capitalism did is it commodified human labor, which is basically an extension of oneself. So that is why, for example, you could walk into a store in the city of Roseau and you might find the cleaner within that establishment might be the most loving, the most trustworthy, the most hardworking person relative to the manager, who could possibly be a liar, a cheater, or a thief. But because of the income disparity, within our society, the cleaner is regarded as less of a human being compared to the manager. So you see how things basically work in reverse, in a backward kind of a movement. And that is why we are caught up in a situation today where it's like we have put everything in terms of material possession over the well-being of our brethren, our family, our community.
McLean Williams. Meantime, agripreneur and youth activist Nestor Phillip says a new level of reach handling is needed that can be harnessed in a collective approach.
Even in my own context, even some of the things that I am essentially good at was actually exposed to me by others, pointing out certain things to me that I personally wasn't really seeing. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's when I reflected upon that, I realized, yeah, I'm pretty good at that. So then I'm more walking into my purpose, if you will. Yeah. Right? And if we're talking about promoting human dignity, promoting love, and so on, I think we have to start looking at the fact that everybody around us, if you will, have some measure, if you will, of significant worth that we can use to basically lift them up,
of course,
to better social relations among others, and so on.
Of course.
And that doesn't necessarily, if you will, have to include capital, but as Martin was saying, if you will, sort of, for lack of a better, a sharing economy type of thing. Yeah. You know, I just believe that if we're talking about, you know, again, getting people off the streets, you have to make them see that, hey, they're better than that, you know, or even some skills that they may be applying to the streets, you know, like leadership and so on, they have to basically rechannel that sort of energy, if you will.
Nestor Phillip. Dominicans may experience the first ever four-day Calypso Music Festival in 2022. This announcement came from 2018 Calypso Monarch and reigning virtual Calypso Monarch Daryl Bob as he spoke to Q95 News yesterday. Bob says this decision was made as a result of the feedback he has received from citizens and business owners on island.
It's just, you see, the thing about ideas come and towards the
climax, you have new ideas coming in, and everybody want to participate as they get the hang of the whole thing. So what we realize is that there's so many ideas and people who want to do different things in this very small economy. Then we realize that one day is not enough. So we are boldly saying that there will be a Calypso Festival, what we'll call a Calypso Festival in 2022, where it will begin on Calypso Day, and then you'll have activities from Calypso Day, maybe Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, with giving different people opportunities to have different activities. So that's the dream right now, and we're going to develop on that idea.
Daryl Bob. Dr. David Lloyd reveals the major findings from CAN's Cocoa Project, announces that Dominicans through its Cocoa Project has experienced an increase in capacity of skilled persons for the country's growing cocoa industry. Dr. Lloyd says over 180 persons were trained, including farmers and extension staff of agriculture, 25% of them being women.
Capacity building. We need a lot of training with regards to cocoa products. Establishment, pruning, rehabilitation of abandoned cocoa plots, and dealing with harvest and post-harvest issues, and management of cocoa. Over 180 persons were trained in all, including farmers and staff members of the extension unit of the Division of Agriculture. 25% of the persons trained were actually women. We also had some training in cocoa grafting and micropropagation of bananas and plantains. The micropropagation technique is really taking a piece of the corn and treating it in a way that we can force it to make little plants, right? And multiply it. In a very simple technique, we use a hot water treatment, deep for 30 seconds, and that cleans it of nematodes and any eggs of borers and so on. It's a very simple technique.
He says cocoa grafting and micropropagation of bananas and plantains, also targeting farmers and extension staff, were additional objectives completed. He reveals that minch flies are the animals which assist with pollination of the cocoa plants. However, he recommends that cocoa farmers invest into rearing bees and harvesting honey as an additional source of income from their farm.
We had a mission also to demonstrate the integration of honey production with cocoa. While honeybees are not necessary or required, they don't pollinate cocoa. Cocoa is pollinated by a small fly called midge. So midges pollinate cocoa. But we see honey production integrating well in that one is an additional potential income stream. For the person involved. Mm-hmm. You need other plants, cocoa needs shade, right? So your other plants could be citrus, could be avocado, right? Which bees would like? Coconuts, you know, which bees like? So if you have them there, it will help you with pollination on the farm as well. And then you can have an income according to how well you can do it.
Dr. Dave Lloyd, CEO of Digicel Dominica Nikima Roye John Baptist, says throughout the past 15 years, Digicel has grown from strength to strength. Digicel celebrated its 15th anniversary Wednesday, and some of the achievements she is most proud of as leader include upgrading its technology 2G to LTE on the mobile side of the business, and on the fixed services side of the business, it would be the first to introduce digital TV and high-speed internet to Dominica.
We also have the fiber to the home product that offers up to 70 megabits of service to our customers. And then on the business solutions or the ICT side of the business, you know, I think one of the greatest achievements for us would have been to work side by side with the government to rebuild their ICT infrastructure and services following Hurricane Maria. And then just personally for me, I think one of my greatest achievements is to see my team develop into such great professionals. Some have stayed with us through the 15 years. Some have moved on to even greater things and achievements. And that's what I love the most.
Meanwhile, John Baptist says after Hurricane Maria, they moved both mobile and fixed services network to LTE as well as to fiber, and then it also partnered with the government of Dominica. She added that during COVID, the company embraced becoming a digital operator and launched new Prime bundles
that offer digital apps, which is more of what our customers want and more of what they've asked to across entertainment, including TV and music, as well as with messaging, sports, news, storage. So I think for us, there's always going to be challenges, you know, but it's can you find the opportunities within those challenges? And I am proud to say that Digicel has, and we will continue to do so.
Digicel CEO Nikima Royer, John Baptist. Still on the local scene, the National Bank of Dominica is eyeing profits of up to $12 million this year. Acting Chief Financial Officer S.T. Joseph says if one looks at financial performance from 2019 to 2021, NBD has shown improved performance. She says in 2019, the bank reported a little over $13 million in profits for that year, with operational profits that would be profits before taxation and impairment of $33 million. She was speaking on the Hot Seat program on Q95 this Wednesday.
2020, NBD reported $23.3 million with profits before taxation and impairment of $34.7 million. Our projections, though we have taken a very conservative approach to the projections given the unknown both of COVID and the market, our projections for the period 2020 to 2024 all show that NBD is expected to return positive results. In 2021, at the end of June, we expected to return about $12 million in profits. And this is in line with even our performance now, which we are in trajectory to have exactly performance around that amount.
Acting Chief Financial Officer at the NBD, ST Joseph. Meantime, Executive Marketing Manager Susan Piper has called for Dominicans to invest in the NBD and have dividend income through its rights share issue.
Come on, that becomes very useful in the retirement years. It will also provide you with voting privileges. You have the option to sell your shares later on if you so wish. And for many people, it's an opportunity to leave something behind for their children and grandchildren. So it provides you with some opportunities, a different kind of investment to participate in.
NBD's Executive Marketing Manager, Susan Piper. The Office of Disaster Management, through its resource mobilization efforts, has secured a donation of a field medical hospital from the U.S. government under the Humanitarian Assistance Program of the U.S. Southern Command. This was facilitated through the Military Liaison Officer of the U.S. Embassy for Barbados and the Eastern Caribbean. Program Officer at the Office of Disaster Management, Mandela Christian, says that facility is valued at $640,000.
And as part of the donation, the U.S. manufacturer is on island conducting a training for personnel from the Ministry of Health, the Office of Disaster Management, the Fire and Ambulance Service, and the Dominica Cadet Corps in the setup and the breakdown of the facility and its accessories. The facility comes equipped with 5 medical tents, 1 administrative tent, a 70 kVA generator, a water purification storage and distribution system, air-conditioned unit, sinks, and 40 hospital beds.
He says the training, which is being provided in light of this new field medical hospital, is very much aligned with the efforts of the Office of Disaster Management to mainstream comprehensive disaster management into the key sectors, with the aim of building resilience and disaster management capacity among the sectors.
Dominica. The facility will be managed by the Ministry of Health, and the Office of Disaster Management will provide logistical support with the assembling and the disassembling of the facility. So we will be the muscles, essentially. On behalf of the government and the people of the Commonwealth of Dominica, I want to take this opportunity to thank the participants and the trainer for taking part in this training.
Program Officer at the Office of Disaster Management, Mandela Christian. The Ministry of Blue and Green Economy, Agriculture and National Food Security's Banana and Plantain Unit continues to ensure that black sigatoka and other diseases affecting the crop are closely monitored on over 70 farms across the island. The ministry says ensuring food security, which includes the availability of quality food at affordable prices, remains in the forefront for these two priority crops. The end of the dry season, January January to May necessitates changing in the chemical composition of the spraying for disease management. But most importantly, farmers are adopting the cultural practices recommended by the unit. The ministry says it continues to urge farmers to comply with these recommendations by cleaning drains, weeding and de-leafing of dead and dying leaves, and for those who engage in spraying, the use of personal protective gear at all times. Farmers who are not knowledgeable are asked to make contact with their extension officers or monitoring officers for a field visit. Banana and Plantain Unit Coordinator Carol Severa Abraham provides a mid-year update on the Black Sigatoka.
Crunchier readings are taken every week. The readings give you an idea of the level of Sigatoka in a zone. Obviously, areas where there's a little more rain, you expect the readings to be a little higher. Those readings also sort of tell you when a cycle is due. But of course, even if at the beginning of the year, I may draw up a schedule of 10 to 12 cycles for the year, of course, we never get all of those done. It's not recommended that you do more than 10 cycles for the year. That is for Black Sigatoka. You're supposed to rotate your chemicals so the fungus doesn't develop resistance. That's something we've been telling farmers all along. And then, of course, the chemical that you use also depends on the weather. Now, this extremely dry weather that we've been having, you're supposed to use protectants. That's chemicals you mix with water. We're saving the oil for when it's wet. And at this time, we are spraying Manzit. It's a powder, you mix it in water. The contractors have been, they have picked it up, so they should be spraying. Some parts are finished, some parts, like Kalibishi is done, I know that much. And the guy in the southeast, I think he's finished now. But the others, you know, that has been our problem, that the cycles cannot be completed when you expect them to be completed because people are starting at different times. And
Carol Abraham and Education Minister Octavia Alfred is encouraging students to make use of the extra time allotted to them to prepare for the exam scheduled for June 28, 2021, and advises that the extension could be used by students to better organize their SBAs. She said this extension affects Dominica and the region. Alfred expressed confidence in Dominica's school's performance expectations this year.
This additional two-week extension, which will take us to the beginning of written exam on June 28th, is an extension that Dominica 2 will take advantage of. Our students will have more time to smooth out their SBAs, and we wait to see what changes are made in the topics for paper 2. So our children, maybe some of them they have covered that they wouldn't need to focus on studying too hard on. So we wait, and this document will be forwarded to us by Friday. So we will look at it, and our students will have some time to cover some work. So this is a situation where, as a region, when one country or when some countries are in stress, all of us must be in it with them. So, but we are happy for the extension, and we are sure that our schools will take advantage of this two-week extension.
In other news, the National Office of Disaster Services has been moving swiftly ahead of preparations for this year's hurricane season, which officially begins on June 1st. So far in Antigua, several training sessions and workshops have been completed with members of staff and volunteers from 17 disaster districts, and meetings held with various agencies on their preparedness for the season. During the workshops of staff, individuals reviewed a number of plans and policies to include a model national relief management policy and a plan and a logistics policy and plan to ensure that challenging issues can be adequately addressed, like the donation and distribution of relief items. And the hard-hit cruise industry is set to start simulated trips in the U.S. In the U.K., regional voyages have already started as they try and overcome cruise travel's early struggles of COVID-19. Elizabeth Palmer reports.
When the Iona sailed into Southampton 2 weeks ago, she made quite the splash.
5,000 passengers will board later this summer for her maiden cruise to Scotland with Captain Wesley Dunlop in command.
How lucky am I to be at the helm for it? I cannot wait.
Challenging that optimism are the floating nightmares from last spring. Remember the Zandam, turned away from country after country with a deadly COVID outbreak on board? Or the 2,500 people who spent their dream vacation in quarantine on the Diamond Princess in Japan? Simon Calder is a travel writer.
It's a huge PR challenge. The people who are most susceptible to COVID-19, older travellers, are the absolute prime demographic for the cruise industry.
The industry is trying to build confidence. Aboard one of the first British cruises of the season last week, Calder not only had to have a COVID test, but everyone on board had to be fully vaccinated. And that's going to be the new normal everywhere.
So we've listened to our guests, and they overwhelmingly told us that they wanted to travel with fellow vaccinated travelers.
The pandemic has cost the cruise industry $77 billion globally and more than 160,000 jobs in just the United States. A relaunch is underway, but it's going to be slow.
With all those horror stories of COVID on the high seas at the start of the pandemic still fresh in public imagination, you'd think that the appetite for cruising would be down. Well, think again.
We're all fine, waiting to go home.
Elaine Spencer was one of the passengers trapped in quarantine on the Diamond Princess. In fact, she's written a book about it.
So when I wrote the book, we both said that we're not sure if we're going to go on a cruise.
Ever again.
Ever again.
But a year is a long time on dry land. And over the past few months, Elaine and her husband have changed their minds. Their next cruise is already booked.
There are some people who would say you're nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think my kids think we're nuts as well.
Loyalty like that will keep the industry afloat. Their research shows that 2 out of 3 past customers are ready for their next trip.
And that's the midday news, but first a recap of the headlines. New forms of moral values and priorities in a modern society have placed our focus on materialism rather than on moral ethics, says Dominican Pan-Africanist and social activist McLean Williams. Antigua Barbuda National Office of Disaster Services has been moving swiftly ahead of preparations for this year's hurricane season. And global cruise trips slowly return, with some mandating fully vaccinated passengers as the U.S. starts simulated trips and the U.K. starts regional voyages in efforts to overcome cruise travel struggles of COVID-19. The news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited. I have been your presenter, Kimberly Benjamin.
Top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local.